Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right, welcome in. It's hour number two of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. We do have the Cowboys Twitter coming up at 3:20, and we'll talk about why our guys are not closing the book on Max Crosby to the Cowboys, even though that's, you know, been the tone since shortly after we went off air last night, on Cowboys Twitter. We'll talk more about that here coming up in about 20 minutes. But Tim Cato, DLLS Mavericks, joins us now here on The Fan. And a good afternoon, Tim. How you doing?
Doing fantastic. How are you guys?
We're doing wonderful, man. We're so excited about the NBA getting underway again. Mavs and Spurs tonight, 8:30. What'd you think about Jaden Hardy saying the team we have this year is better in so many ways? How'd that hit you?
Kind of seems like what any player in his position would say. I think it's absolutely a very deep, a very loaded team. You know, I think the questions about the Mavericks are, you know, for as much depth as they have, how does it all fit? How do the pieces come together? That is a journey and a process we're going to start learning about tonight. Obviously, you know, for all the people who say, you know, when Kyrie's healthy, blank about the Mavericks, you know, whatever they want to say, and usually it's very glowing, you know, it still is objectively true that Dallas is not going to have Kyrie Irving for half or more of the season. At the same time, absolutely, this is a highly talented team with a lot of players who are just objectively good. And Cooper Flagg, and you know, kind of tonight and kind of for the opening months of the season, all eyes in every possible way are on Cooper Flagg, you know, this megastar generational prospect who's about to make his NBA debut.
You know, the one of the interesting things there is how much, you know, real point guard can he do? D'Angelo Russell starting at point guard tonight. How much do you expect Flagg to see the ball in his hand?
Well, it quite possibly may not be D'Angelo even in the starting lineup. It may be Cooper at the one. We don't know the starting lineup. I was at Mavs practice yesterday. Jason Kidd was asked and declined to reveal his starting lineup. Some coaches care about that. Some coaches reveal it the day before. Jason Kidd clearly falls in the former camp. So, we don't know what the starting lineup is going to be, but there has been some hint, some indication that, you know, D'Angelo Russell may come off the bench. Based on the way I see point guard in the modern NBA, obviously the position has changed a lot. Increasingly, you see, you know, players as tall as Luka, 6'8". There's a bunch of, you know, 6'5", 6'8", 6'10 point guards in the NBA. There are players like Jokic who basically are the primary creators, even if they are not, you know, whatsoever have the traditional mold of a body, you know, of a point guard. What the position is basically is a skill set, you know, and it's several skill sets in terms of ball handling and playmaking and creativity. And I think teams can either choose to play with a point guard with somebody who has those skill sets, or they can choose not to do it. So if Cooper Flagg is playing one, if he is technically the, you know, the best ball handler, the guy who has the ball in the court, you know, in his hands the most often, it doesn't necessarily make him a point guard. It just means that, you know, Dallas is going to kind of go without a point guard in lineups where they don't have D'Angelo Russell or Brandon Williams Ryan Nimhart, on the court. They're kind of going to go without a point guard. And that has, you know, pros and cons. And that's what we're going to kind of see, where, you know, what Dallas is thinking is that, you know, even if they don't have the point guard skills on the court, the offense may be a little bit stickier. It may not look quite as clean and fluid as you would hope, but there's going to be advantages in terms of the defense and everything else that it brings to the court when they play lineups like that.
Yeah, I mean, from like a stylistic standpoint and a strategy standpoint, what are changes that we can expect with the way they're going to be going about, especially offensively, trying to put up as many points as they can compared to what it was during the Luka era?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much since Dirk Nowitzki, and then Luka continued more, you know, in an even stronger way, Dallas has been an offense that ran pick and rolls. You know, Dirk Nowitzki was, you know, fantastic to go, you know, as a screen setter because he had so much gravity and attention that would come to him. And then Luka, you know, quite possibly the best pick and roll ball handler and decision maker in league history. Certainly in the league right now, I don't think there's any question that, you know, what he does on pick and roll is just extraordinary, extraterrestrial. Dallas isn't going to run a lot of pick and rolls this year. Not in the traditional sense. You know, there's of course going to be a lot of screen setting, but it's not going to be screen setting designed with, you know, a pick and roll ball handler being able to like run around it and then, you know, execute, you know, a kind of a 2-1, a 2-on-1 type game, a 2-man game. I think it's going to be a lot more of, you know, dribble handoffs with, you know, the big men having the ball, tossing it to somebody who's coming around. The idea is going to be a lot of back cuts, a lot of movement and motion. So that's what it's going to look like. How effective it is a whole nother question, but that's what we're going to start finding out. But that's kind of, I think, the summary of what Dallas envisions their offense, you know, here in the first half, or more than the first half of the season, you know, until Kyrie Irving is back.
Tim, obviously this roster is super deep coming into this year. Is Najee Marshall a guy that's maybe being overlooked right now? And when we look at guys that can maybe fill that role, not necessarily as a true one, but to help facilitate offense, did we see Najee have a little bit of an ability to do that in times last year?
Yeah, I think so. You know, he when I'm talking like skill set, like he doesn't have the one-to-one point guard skill set, but you know, a big part of being a point guard is just driving into the paint. You know, because if you get 2 feet in the paint, coaches love to talk about this, 2 feet in the painted area, your offense is going to be better. And Najee is somebody who does that. He does that really well. He can get past his man, you know, even without the threat of the outside shot, which is really inconsistent for him. He is very good. And I think he is kind of overlooked as well, at least in the sense of like a lot of people are bringing up Max Christie. And I like Max Christie. I think he's a solid player. I think Najee Marshall is just so clearly like there, if there's a minute crunch whatsoever because this team is so deep, it's Najee Marshall who's getting, you know, winning most of the competition for, you know, fellow bench players. You know, there's no question that, you know, if there's only 24 minutes to give between Najee Marshall and Max Christie, I'm giving all 24 to Najee. I think he's a really good player. I think he's really good for this team. I think he's really going to help them. And, you know, I think based off last season, he's kind of becoming a fan favorite as well.
Hey, Tim, we had a crosstalk between shows today, and my concern was all the new coaches on the bench for the Mavs. Is this something that teams worry about, or is this something that is it? Don't worry about it, Brian, because these are veteran coaches. Or how do you look at the just the difference of the bench from what we've seen last year from Kidd to this year?
Yeah, my stance or my, you know, how I kind of approach like drastic behind the scene changes, which you're very smart to bring up. I kind of approach it from the sense of I'm going to assume it's not a problem until I start seeing or hearing otherwise, just sure. Because, you know, obviously, you know, what goes on behind the scenes, the specifics of everything going on is more nebulous. It isn't something that plays out on the court on television. I will say that it is very odd that so much of Jason Kidd's staff left this summer.
Yeah.
And I'll think it's very clear that a lot of it was, it went back to the summer after the finals, where a lot of these guys did not get extensions. Typically after a deep finals run, a deep playoff run, you are going to extend and reward the people, you know, who did the hard work behind the scenes and were part of that, making that happen. So it's definitely unusual. At the same time, you know, Dallas, you know, said throughout the process of these guys seeming prepared to leave, and then they left. That's Sean Sweeney, that's Jared Dudley. They said throughout the process that they weren't worried, that it was going to come together well, that they had, you know, they were going to have just as experienced guys coming in. And you really can't argue that they do have a lot of experience on this pitch, including Frank Vogel, who, you know, was a former head coach. You know, just a lot of experience on the bench. So we'll see. I think it's notable. I think it's strange. But I don't think it's a problem or a concern until I hear otherwise, or until we see Dallas not quite reaching the results that they should be, and we're looking for answers. If the answers aren't with the roster, then maybe that's something we can reexamine.
It's Tim Cato, All City Dallas Mavericks, here with you on 105.3 The Fan. How many years do you reckon are in the Davis Irving flag window? Like how urgently do they need to be taking advantage of having you know, these older guys on their team along with Cooper Flagg?
I mean, in my head, it should probably be two, you know, this season, next season. And maybe if the next season is super, super effective, you know, you could kind of revisit that. But I do think, I will say this, Anthony Davis is eligible for extension next summer, you know, going into next season. And in some ways, I do view this year for Dallas as a year where they can, you know, kind of reset. It's not fully a gap year per se, because this roster is, you know, still pretty healthy or still very talented, and Kyrie Irving is supposed to be back. But it just may not be possible for Dallas to overcome all of the Kyrie Irving absence and then get back to, you know, the player that he's been in the past. But if they're going into next season without, you know, they better have proof of concept if they're going to extend Anthony Davis. And even then, you know, if you give him three more years and he's locked up for, you know, next summer, if you're locking him up for 4 years in the future at a very, very high dollar level, like, that is something that starts to concern me about, is this going to overlap with Flagg and what you need to do with Flagg as he clearly ascends and becomes the best player on the team? So I think Anthony Davis and what happens with Anthony Davis and his contract and whether he gets extended is honestly one of the biggest stories in the NBA next summer. And we'll see. But I think there's a lot that this team and this concept and Anthony Davis needs to prove this year, so Dallas can make smart decisions, you know, going into next offseason.
Predictions are so tough in sports, and especially in this NBA where we just keep getting new winners. But I was looking at the wide range of predictions on this Mavs team, and I could see any of them being true. I could see, if everything goes right, them being in the finals. I could also see them not even making the playoffs, Tim.
I think that's fair. You know, I think this team does have a high ceiling, high-ish ceiling. I'm not sure it's title contender ceiling, even if everything breaks right. But I think the floor isn't, you know, it's not going to fall out completely, barring injuries, which, you know, you can't predict that, especially like before the season when you're making predictions. But, you know, certainly Anthony Davis is somebody who's injury prone. We all know that. But I do think this team, I put them like 13th best in the NBA, which doesn't sound that bad. But then you realize that's still putting them like 9th or 10th in the West, because so much of the league's power dynamics are in the West. And that's just a really tricky spot to be, where it's like, I do think that relatively they're an above average team, you know, even factoring in Kyrie. But an above average team in the West might mean that you're, you know, really fighting for the play-in tournament. And, you know, under the old system, you would have been like ninth looking in. So it's just a tricky spot to be in because of, you know, how good the West is comparatively to the East. And it's going to be difficult. Dallas has to start hot, and they have to kind of, you know, build up enough wins that they can just hang on to enough of them that when Kyrie Irving comes back, they can have a fighting chance to, you know, still be in top six contention, you know, even if they end up more as a play-in team.
Has Anthony Davis thinned out a little bit since the start of camp?
I think so, a little bit, yeah. You know, I have a lot of sympathy for him. Obviously, it was the juxtaposition of, you know, everything that was said about Luka and the reasoning for trading Luka. And then Anthony Davis clearly is not in, you know, full playing shape when he shows up to camp, when camp starts this year. But I have sympathy. Like, the guy had an eye injury and basically had to, like, lay in bed for 8 weeks. You know, I'm sure in a very similar situation, it's just not an ideal way to prep for the season. I'm not super worried about the whole conditioning weight stuff with him. You know, once again, as always, the concern for him is just, does he hold up?
What are your expectations for Klay Thompson in year two as a Mav?
I like Klay. I think everybody likes Klay. I'm hearing even superstar rappers like Klay Thompson. So nobody dislikes Klay. It is just reality. He's 36. And so at this point, you know, I think he's going to start tonight. And I think he's going to start quite a bit this season. But at some point, it wouldn't surprise me if Klay starts coming off the bench. He's just not quite that, you know, game-breaking shooter that he used to be, which is fine. You know, that's just what happens as you age. What he is, unquestionably, is still a great shooter. You know, one of those guys that you know, you know, when you look up and down the roster and there just isn't a glut of great shooters, like, he stands out as somebody who clearly is feared by defenses. Clearly, you can't leave alone. You've got to stick a man to and, you know, can cause and disrupt defenses just by moving off the ball. That's still a really valuable thing to have, even if at this point of his career, you know, we're probably not talking about him as like a top 100 player or anything like that.
Sure. Would you like to do a media game versus the coaches like they did in Boston?
Yeah, I think we would win.
How many points you putting up?
Yeah. I mean, I would feel bad for the coaches. So, like, really, I'm just staying out of that. You know, I'm just showing up to you know, drop 30 on their heads. And we'll leave it at that. Well, I'll let my game do the talking.
Speaking of that, do you think anybody can chase down the Thunder this year in the West, or is this their conference again?
That is kind of a question. They are kind of the coaching staff playing media of the Western Conference right now. There's no doubt about that. The concern for the Thunder is the concern for the rest of the league when it comes to the Thunder is, are we sure they're not just about to win 70 games? And yeah, I mean, it was a very close game last night. The NBA opener against the Houston Rockets took double overtime for the Thunder just to sneak out that win. But they won 68 games, like, not being very healthy last year. You know, Chet Holmgren and Isaiah Hartenstein missed a ton of time to start the beginning of the year. It was Jalen Williams, who was absent last night, who ended up playing center for long stretches for them. I do kind of think in some ways Jalen Williams, you know, him and Shea are just so, like, they're so important just because, sneakily, they don't have as much playmaking outside of those two guys as you might think. But there's a real chance that they just win 70 games, that they keep getting a little bit better, that their young players just keep leveling up, and that you know, all the parity that the NBA had worked to instill, and you know, I think still has done a good job with the new CBA executing what they want, which is parity. You know, they don't want dynasties. It's very clear. The Thunder are absolutely positioned to break that and just win again this year, and it wouldn't surprise me at all.
Hey, Tim, I'm just curious. So, you know, we always try and kind of maybe opening night will knee jerk, you know, after a game, is it a win, is it a loss kind of thing? How many games do you give an NBA team before you have a pretty good feel of who they are?
People smarter than me, coaches and people around the NBA, say 20 is the sweet spot. You know, 10 is a decent marker, but 20 is when you should have a sense of an NBA team. You know, I'm starting a national role at All City, you know, still in and around all DLF. We'll be watching, you know, everybody around the league. And,
sure,
you know, I do think the end of November, there's always going to be teams in the league where due to injuries, due to adjustments, due to, you know, young players who are adapting, who, you know, are just going to, like, be on the ascent throughout the year, that you can't judge that quickly. But I do think that kind of 20 game mark, or, you know, the start of December is when you should start to have a sense of teams, which is another reason why it's funny. And I get why people say this, but, you know, the thing that's said about the NBA is that, you know, I'll tune in at Christmas, you know. Yeah. Christmas games are the actual openers. You know, watch NBA because I think it's fun. I think it's worth watching. Watch it however, you know, you as a watcher, you know, most enjoy it. But I will say, by Christmas Day, pretty much every season, I think most of the storylines that we can expect the rest of the year are set in place and known. So I think that is a good benchmark, and I think it comes a little bit sooner than that.
True or false, we get Fire Nico Chance at the AAC tonight?
Ooh, tonight, I think Chance as in like it would reach the telecast, I think not tonight. Lakers game, yes. I don't think it's happening tonight in a organized, strong way. But we'll see. I'll be there.
Megan Thee Stallion going to be there?
I don't know. I don't know. My girlfriend keeps asking me this as well. she wants to swing through. She loves Megan. So I don't have any insight to reveal to you guys about that. And unfortunately, I've already promised that insight to somebody else before you guys if I ever come across it.
Thank you, Tim.
Well, you're the man, Tim. Thank you so much for joining us. We look forward to reading your stuff and your game recap all season long, and we'll look forward to catching up with you next time.
Absolutely. Talk to y'all soon.
Salute. There he goes, Tim Cato, All City Dallas here in the G-Bag Nation. Time for some Cowboys Twitter and the very latest on the Cowboys and the trade deadline coming up now in 13 days. Next there on the Fan.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
and
it.
You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed.
Mm.
Pricing's precise and true.
So true. True.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Yeah, buddy, it's time here for some Cowboys Twitter top tweets going viral about America's team. We'll pick up that Cowboys trade conversation here in just a second. Segment is brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. So still no official word on the Mavericks starting lineup. We just did talk with Tim Cato. And Tim McMahon, ESPN, tweeting he expects Cooper Flagg to start at point guard tonight. So that's exciting because of what they were able to do in Anthony Davis's debut last year. It was two quarters of maniacal defense. They were physically overwhelming. It was Houston they were playing that day, right? And that's a good young athletic team still, and was even more so last year before the Kevin Durant trade. And they were just swarming. It really had the feel of a championship defense, like the first couple of years of LeBron James in Miami level of defense, where we are going to get out here and turn you over and rebound everything and get in transition. And I absolutely love it. You know, and I don't know how much Klay Thompson can give you ball handling wise, but PJ Washington can as well. And I think it's worth the investment in time just to see by the end of the year how much could Cooper Flagg be a 6'8 point guard for his career. That would be an incredible development. I'm a little hesitant to believe in it. I mean, they had Knipple last year, and then they had the senior whose name escapes me at Duke who handled the ball more in those kind of situations. So we'll see. He would definitely not be the first like point forward to transition to point guard in the league. It's more prevalent than ever, especially without the hand checking rules that you used to be able to do. Like, you had to have a smaller guy who was stout and was an incredible dribbler to avoid turnovers, but that's not as much the case in today's NBA. So within an hour of our show ending last night, Pelissero tweeted that the Raiders had met with Max Crosby to let him know they are not shopping him and they will not trade him, and that other teams are interested. The Raiders are not interested in moving their best player, and Crosby wants to stay in Las Vegas. So why did our guys say in their opening segment that they don't feel like this is over yet? Brian, can you expand on that?
Yeah, I just, I just kind of go back to, there is clearly an interest from the Cowboys to do something. They've got the draft capital to do something. Jerry Jones was talking to us about the fact that he feels like he's in a position where he can do something. And, you know, this is an area where they could go and get a guy that is affordable. It's signed up. I mean, we'll see in a couple of years if you get him that he might want to redo his deal. Dallas will do things like that. But, you know, here's a guy that fits everything really they want to have. They want to have a guy that can rush the passer, who can dominate at that. He's a guy that even if he didn't get sacks, his ability just to cause havoc to a scheme as a run defender, Micah Parsons is one of the top five players in the league. This guy's right there with him. And I think this guy plays better run defense than Micah Parsons. I think he finishes just as good as Micah Parsons. And, you know, this might give them an opportunity to have a guy, like I said, with a salary that they could do other things. It gives them flexibility that maybe you can go out and you can do something and get, you know, George Pickens done too. So you think about a Kenny Clark and then this guy, you know, Max Crosby, and then having Pickens back. And, you know, just trying to, you would say, okay, well, three of those guys for Micah Parsons, this makes just a lot of sense to me. So I just don't think that they're giving up on this. I think the Raiders kind of got caught in a situation where they're like, well, we need to throw some water on this because they're talking about it. Yeah. And I think that Jerry and Steven they tried to tell us that they wouldn't trade Parsons. And we all kind of looked at him and nodded our head like a bunch of fools.
Yeah. Kind of feels like maybe the Raiders want better offers. Yeah. They weren't willing to trade him now.
Oh yeah, I think they're
how bad do you want him?
Yeah, I think that you've got some teams like the 49ers involved. I think you've got the Rams involved. I think the Colts are involved too. Is another one that.
And I'd wonder about the Lions.
Yeah, the Lions as well.
But if you're Vegas, I mean, you got to do some internal thinking. Where right now you're drafting at 7, and if you want to be able to go and get a quarterback, because Geno Smith is not your guy, clearly. And you really want to be able to turn this thing around and compete, I mean, how are you going to be able to go up there and maybe battle for the guy that you want when you have the Jets, the Dolphins, the Saints, all these other teams that right now are going to be drafting ahead of you? Would it not be smart for you to maybe add some more draft capital, add some more ammo to have in your arsenal? So I think, you know, give this thing a little bit of time, and if a deal is made, I think that absolutely the Raiders would have to be open-minded to thinking about it. And I think the Cowboys are going to be aggressive.
At the end of the show last night when we walked out of the Shell Shack on Henderson, by the way, great place to go watch the games. Happy hour going on right now, Shell Shack on Henderson. I thought, okay, this could happen on Wednesday. And then when I get home and I'm back on Cowboys Twitter, I'm like, okay, to what extent is this the Raiders saying there's no way we're going to actually trade him, and how much of that is negotiating? You saw how intense the Cowboys were in effect negotiating in the media during the Micah Parsons thing, and I think it's smart to, you know, consider that other teams would look at it the same way. Like, we want to present the idea that there's no way we're trading this guy, and you're going to have to make it worth our while in order to change that. Okay, elsewhere here on Cowboys Twitter, let's go to the account of Jeremy Fowler, possible contract extension with George Pickens. Quote, the Cowboys have had internal discussions about a possible extension for George to the point where they've been examining the rosters and cap situations of teams like Cincinnati, Miami, and Philadelphia, who are all paying multiple high-end receivers. Fowler adds, nothing will likely get done until the end of the season, but this is a start. Yeah, you know, and I would look at that and say Philadelphia is the only one that really works because they were willing to say, this isn't the end of our roster build. We're not sacrificing elsewhere to have these two wide receivers. This is adding. And if there's a piper to pay in the future, we'll do that. We'll eat salary cap hits in the future. But if you examine Cincinnati and Miami, you could argue that paying two wide receivers is directly responsible for them having massive holes elsewhere on their roster, couldn't you?
Absolutely, yes, and I'm with you 100%. The Eagles' plan there is the one to try and duplicate, but you have to be willing to pivot the way that you're accustomed to team building.
Yeah,
right. Like we talk about Eberflus having to get uncomfortable with the way he approaches things schematically. The Cowboys would have to do the same thing from a team building standpoint.
They're kind of in a position to do just what Philly did, because Philly was able to have those two picks in the first round, and their defense was bad. And what did they do? They went and got Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean. And they also hit on Zach Bond, right, in free agency, which was a cheap acquisition. Mm. So you are in a situation where you almost are in a spot to follow a similar formula and path to what the Eagles just did if you wanted to double up at wide receiver there. And now you're talking about we're surrounding Dak like the Eagles did with Jalen Hurts, and assuming this offensive line continues to grow, now let's go fix this defense. But the Cowboys have to hit on those picks on the defensive side of the football, assuming they keep them and they don't move them for a player here at the deadline.
See, this is the discussion, Dawson, you heard me this morning on the Cowboy break.
Oh, yeah, with Derek and them.
And, you know, and myself, Votch, Lombardi, and Amber Garcia.
Yeah.
We all were up for giving the two ones. We were ready to move. And Derek was absolutely against it. And one of the arguments that I made is I think there is a disconnect of how they draft defensive players.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's defensive lines specifically. And I think it has to do with coaching staff. And I think the fact that they've had three drafts, three different sets of coaches, defensive coordinators, as much as these coaches are involved in the day-to-day drafting of these players, that you've had some coaches that have absolutely whiffed at this thing. And until they fix that, if you're telling me that, oh, we're interested in drafting defensive players and we're just going to hold on to our picks, you know, I don't have a lot of confidence in you right now.
No.
Drafting defensive players.
I don't want to hear you're going to draft your way to the perfect roster.
I don't. And especially if the coaches on the defensive side are going to be this involved. There is a disconnect there. And so I am more than willing to move a pick or both picks, both Green Bay picks, if I don't have to, if I could go get a player that I know is an all-pro player that is established as a game wrecker. Give me that guy. There's too many days of the Rod Marinellis and the Mike Zimmers and the Dan Quinns and those guys that have come in and influenced the Cowboys scouting process to the point where you've missed players. And Zach, you tell us every week the numbers of how many defensive players have missed. And I think until they correct that, or Will McClay completely takes over the operation and puts the coaches aside in that side of the building, I just F them picks. You know, just go get me the guy that I know can do some great things.
Yeah, when you mentioned they might be able to copy what the Eagles did, I hope the next words out of your mouth were that they were fixing to sell 10% of their equity to fund, you know, paying George Pickens and paying whoever else they have to pay in the short term in order to finally finish this championship build out. But they're so close now, you can taste it. And I would just encourage the Cowboys to more aggressively try to give this generation of Cowboys fans something to hang their hat on, because you're not going to be able to live off your past forever. Mm-hmm. Krusty's Corner, people have been waiting all day for this preview. Brian, where are you taking us?
Yeah, we're going to talk about the Denver Bronco offense. There's a lot to learn. We'll do that next.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. Mm. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Thank you very much, Lucius. Time now for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here's the king, Brian.
Hey, hey, kids! Your old pal Krusty's gonna teach you 5 new words.
You're not wrong about that.
From Dallas, Texas, number 55, Brian Waters.
Thank you very much to my teammates. Thank you to Reliant. Thank you yesterday to Shell Shack. I had crab legs that were $50 a pound.
Oh, nice.
How many pounds
that's
you get?
Way to order.
Like 4 pounds?
I just said 1 pound of them. But they're really good. Shell Shack's got some really good food.
Yeah, they do.
They really
that
do.
That shrimp is... I mean, man, the fried ones that you got there at the end there.
Dawson got a couple orders of
fried
shrimp.
Yeah, that was my second order of the day. Yeah,
big old shrimp. It just kind of snuck in there, didn't it, Dawson? It was like late in the day. It's like, I need a little pick-me-up here.
I mean, ever since
fried shrimp platter.
I was craving it, even after the first full platter.
Yeah, good for you. That's got really good food. So thanks to them for letting us hang out with them yesterday. What else, too? Oh, I wanted to say something. I got some names for you guys, too. I asked the Gang of Seven for some linebacker names that are on the trade market.
Love this.
We might not be talking about them, here's some names. I'm going to give you some of those. And then also want to thank the folks that follow me on X. I asked them about a question about negativity. If you like it when...
I saw that.
And I had a ton of responses. And folks were, I think, pretty honest. Let me ask you this, Dawson, because you're kind of a media guy. Do you think the people that are that don't like the negativity have already stopped following me or muted me? That am I getting answers from people? Because most of the answers were people were okay with the negativity. They don't want the race bait or any of that kind of stuff or anything like that. But they are talking about your team and stuff. But they feel like though that you. They feel like that you, if you're honest about it, like if you do, you know, the fair part of it. But there, most people also too are like, hey, listen, if it's bad, it's bad. Say it's bad.
Yeah.
Don't sugarcoat it for me or anything like that.
Yeah, I would say 90% of the people want, you just to evaluate what's happened and objectively say, is this good or bad and why is it good or bad?
Yeah.
I think there's 5% that only want positive and 5% toxic people that just feed off the negativity and they are often the loudest.
You know, so I think we get a lot of feedback. Maybe when we're being negative after a loss, and some of those people are going to say, this is too much for me, I got to go. You know, there's no doubt ratings are the highest when we're going on a championship run or a deep playoff run.
Right.
Like, winning breeds more. But I think the thing that would lose people more than the negativity is being positive when they're terrible.
Right.
You know, that would, because I think a lot of people want the explanation and the way out. How do we fix this? Yeah. What's broken?
I like what you're saying there. I just was curious because I'm always worried that, like, hey, listen, I'm trying to tell you what I see, but I'm also, if it's good, I also try and tell you that as well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, try and be fair about it. But the negativity part, I just wondered if people got turned off of how negative I could be sometimes about the team. You know, like, and I just was curious about that. So,
well, I think I'm more negative than you.
Negativity after a win. I wonder if that has anything to do with it. Like, sometimes, like, it's a win, but then, like, the way sometimes, I guess, maybe we talk about it or others, it kind of feels like a loss.
Yeah.
You know, that also could maybe upset people.
I appreciate everybody's response. Thank you very much for taking the time to do that. It means a lot.
I mean, you had so many replies to that. I had a blast reading them today.
I appreciate that. I just want, like I said, hey, it's just, I'm just trying to do better content, you know, and if it bothers you that I do something, I just want to know why. Like, I had questions about, I asked people about X's and O's and stuff and us doing the videos and things like that. And the guy was like, well, you know, the plays are too long. You know, you're talking about the plays too long. And I went, well, sometimes you have to get into detail why the play worked or didn't work. There's more to it. So you have to, it's not just, oh, the ball went to Pickens and he made a hell of a catch.
Yeah.
Oh, look what happened here. Tolbert ran a route. Look at the blitz pickup by Williams. They tried to play off the safety here. So it gets a little wordy, it gets a little long when you're breaking down the play, but you're trying to explain in detail what you think happened on the play.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, you know, and the guy's like, oh, hey, I understand. But he was like, I need 7 plays, but shorter. And I'm like, okay, I'll give you 4 plays, but I'll explain them in great detail that way. But anyway, thanks for everybody who hangs out with us on that.
Well, no, I appreciate the breakdown of what's happening away from the ball. It was Pat Kerwin who wrote this book, Take Your Eye Off the Ball.
Yeah.
And I read that like 10 years ago. And ever since then, you look at football so much differently.
Yeah, you do. You absolutely. Pat's really good at what he does, too. He was with the Jets when I was in Green Bay and stuff. So I really like Pat a lot. All right. Some names just in case. And then we'll get into the Broncos here. Logan Wilson. These are linebackers. Logan Wilson.
Cincinnati.
Quincy Williams.
Jets.
Christian Harris.
Yeah, Texans.
Texans, yeah. And, okay, we brought up EJ Speed.
Okay.
Christian Harris is an interesting one.
Christian, this
run stuffer guy.
Yeah, these are names that my guys, Ganger 7 are saying are being shopped right now. And then Marte Mapu.
Mapu, yeah.
Yeah. He was a safety, right?
Was a safety, converted to linebacker, which, I mean, when you watch him at Sacramento State, he's with New England now. He played like a linebacker. He was a big thumper at kind of, you know, like, he's not Darren Woodson, right? But Darren Woodson made that, you know, from linebacker to safety. But he is the opposite of that. 6'3", 230, big hitter guy, was a box safety, now playing a linebacker. Might have some more range than what you're – he could be maybe your better coverage linebacker.
Sure. You like the speed of this guy, right?
Yeah.
He's for a thumper guy, he kind of
– He moved well.
He covered some ground. Yeah. I remember that. Once again, Logan Wilson, Quincy Williams, Christian Harris, Marte Mapu were the names I've heard around the league. All right, here we go. Denver Broncos. What you need to know about the Denver Broncos. This team is kind of unusual in a way that they don't motion very much, and you would not think that of a Sean Payton-led team. Only the Titans and the Giants motion less than the Broncos currently. And I think if you look at the two teams they motion, that the Broncos are behind the Broncos, or ahead of the Broncos, excuse me, Tennessee rookie quarterback, Giants rookie quarterback. And then you got a second-year quarterback here with Denver. So this might help the Cowboys when it comes to communication, that all of a sudden there's not a lot of moving, not a lot of shifting, you know, switching like, it becomes from this coverage to this coverage because of maybe a guy coming in motion and stuff. So that's something that they've had a little bit motion the last couple of weeks. But overall, they're near the bottom.
Strange to me, because with a rookie quarterback, wouldn't you want more information?
I think they're worried about him short-circuiting with all the guys moving around.
Yeah, and I think it's because of the Bo Nix.
Yeah, I think to me, it's just try and keep everybody in place. Like, okay, let me read this one time and not have to read it again. And so that would be I maybe will ask Sean afterwards why he does that. I don't think he'd tell me now.
It's game week. He doesn't want to talk to you.
He didn't want to do this. This team, I think with the offensive line, the way it is, I think it's a pretty decent offensive line. I think to me, though, that Mike McGlinchey, the right tackle, is going to be the guy you want to go after in this one. He's had struggles. This offensive line did have some struggle against the Giants, but we've seen firsthand what the Giants can do to you with their pass rush. Yeah.
Challenge front seven.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm kind of thinking about off the right side is where I would attack this group, because I think that's where the most pressures can come from. With like McGlinchey was with the 49ers. Micah Parsons used to give him fits. And I still think there's some of the same issues that he had with the 49ers. He's kind of a tall guy. He doesn't play with a lot of power. He does move very, very well. You know, you'll see this team get the ball. Sean's going to look at Carolina's game plan, and what they'll do is they'll double the three. They'll do that power gap scheme stuff where they'll double the defensive tackles, and then have the tight end and the tackles block. This team plays with a traditional fullback. You don't see that very much in the league. So you're going to get some 21 personnel, two backs, one tight end. But where they have problems running the football is they're near the bottom of the league when you stack the box against them. So when you play with more than seven defenders, this gives this team a lot of problems. They're near the bottom. They're 28th in the division, or excuse me, 28th in the National Football League when it comes to playing against stacked box. So how does Dallas figure out? Dallas played some nine-man box the other day against the Commanders by getting the corner involved and then also having the safety come down. You might want to consider doing that against this guy. This quarterback, Bo Nix, they'll have to go back to some of their zone concepts because he's going to struggle with the zone, the zone concepts. The man coverage stuff, not a whole lot better, but better to the point where you would say, man, if you play zone against him, make him read. He's going to want to run too, by the way, guys. He's going to want to drop back. And if he doesn't see it initially, he's going to take off running. So you got to deal with another one of those guys. J.K. Dobbins, the back, I think is a physical back. He'll finish. He's got some toughness, very similar to the type of back that you have. I would worry about a Courtland Sutton because of his length and the way that he's able to go get that football. Marvin Mims is a kind of throw it to him in space and let him run guy. You're going to get the jet sweeps, things like that. They want to get Pat Bryant. He's from Illinois, the wide receiver. He was picked in the third round. They want to get him more involved in the offense. So right now, like I say, against these guys, play some zone coverage. Look at some stack box situations to maybe help you with the run. And then be very mindful. You're probably not going to get a whole lot of motion. So that will help your communication and keep you in place for this week.
How many points do you think the Broncos are going to score on the Cowboys after reviewing their tape?
I'll tell you what. I think what it's going to come down to is that quarterback in the running aspect of things. I don't know if he could beat you throwing the ball. I think he could beat you running with the ball. And I mean running with, like, if it's a close game and all of a sudden it's a, oh, they're getting the field goal range to win the game, he'll run for 20-something yards and break your heart that way. I think that I need to look at their defense, but I think if you can score 27 points, you might be pretty good in this one.
Right on. Great stuff. Thank 2 hours down, okay. 3 to go. Krusty's Corner every afternoon, 3:40 here in the G-Bag Nation. We got Ryan Rucco, play-by-play man for the NBA on ESPN, coming up at 4:20. Well, Chuck, what's next?
Let's do a daily football fix. Cowboys trade rumors, Hall of Fame voting, and a nervous 40-year-old. That's next.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Your next ride at AutoTrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. You can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data, 1H 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.